Blog Talk Radio.
To change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, where we educate and empower all to the glory of God. I'm so excited that you decided to tune in with me on this wonderful Monday night. It's almost the end of August. Can you believe that? One more day and we'll be in September. Oh, where's the time going? But praise God, I'm so excited that you decided to spend this last part of the 30th day in August with me. And I pray that you will get something that you will be encouraged by, something that you will learn. It may not be a brand new story, but it'll be something that will help you expound a little bit more in your thinking to educate yourself. And then, praise God, do whatever is necessary so that you can be empowered to make the necessary changes, and then share it with someone else. So welcome, welcome, welcome. If this is your very first time, like I said, we are our motto or our goal is to encourage, to educate, and to empower. And so we pray that you will have, if not one of those, all three of those tonight before you leave. We are on every Monday night. It's an hour of power, as we like to say, of information that God comes and shares and then gives us a little nugget to do what is necessary so that we can survive in this system that we live in. And so I thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. For those of you that have been with me for the past, can you believe it? 8 years, 8 years we've been in this thing. And so I thank you. And I know that it's pretty much possible because those of you that listen in keep me encouraged, keep me motivated, keep me grounded, and keep me doing what God has called me to do. And I do what I love to do, and that is to teach. And so I thank you for your prayers and for all your insights and helping me stay focused. For those of you that don't know, Tammy and Jesse Store are the ones that I have to give major credit to, because without them, I wouldn't have known that this was an opportunity for me to even do radio. I know I love to teach in a classroom, and I know I love to see faces and the expressions, but they was like, no, you need to take your message globally. And so praise God, they gave me a platform to allow me to do that. And so I will always be grateful for them. And not only because they provided the platform, but because they are still 8 years later, I've known them longer than 8 years, but 8 years for me in this vein, they are still the examples that they were when I first met them. They are true to the things of God, and they're true to helping people make sure that they are true to the things of God. And so I will always be grateful for them. Now, the greatest praise that we have to give, and we have to give it every night, praise God, that is to God. And so I always start the broadcast with a good exercising song to get us leaded and warmed up to do what God has called us to do in this hour. And then, praise God, we go to prayer, and then we start our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning and giving us your precious gift of life. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to have our being, to be able to move freely and do the things that we thought we wanted to do. And praise God, we hope that it was what you planned for us to do. Thank you for those of us that acknowledged you this morning before we took our first step. And for those of us that didn't, Father, I thank you that you've given us an opportunity to pray, that we met your expectation for the day. And if not, Father, reveal to us what we need to do so we can get it right before we lay down to go to sleep. And Father, we just thank you again for all the things that you've done, the resources that you've given for us to even be able to wake up and go to sleep in peace. And to have the comfort of whatever type of sheets, praise God, and comforters we may have on our bed, we are covered. Father, there are so many people that are struggling and don't have the access and have the privileges that we have. And so, Father, we ask not only that we give us opportunities to bless them, but we just thank you, Father, for allowing us to not have to have that story. But, Father, we ask that you bless those that are less fortunate, that you lay the whatever desires that you have for us to do, however we can contribute to help those that are less fortunate, especially, Father, those that are in Afghanistan, that are struggling trying to get home or find some place of safety, and even those that are affected by the hurricane and the storm that's ripping through and destroying properties and taking away security that they pretty much lived in. And so, Father, we just thank you that we have not only the ability to pray and to hope and to be able to even financially stretch out and reach out, but we have our hands that we can actually do some of the work that needs to be done to give your hands and feet things to do to make sure that people know that you are there and that you haven't left them nor have you forsaken them. So, Father, I just thank you for this time that you've given, that you will remove all of me so that you can come forward in this teaching, that you will allow us to make the necessary changes, whether we're listening to it for the first time today, tomorrow, next week, or even next year. Father, let it be a rhema word that will cause wants to change and to think why it is necessary for us to think right, to be right, and then to want to be right. And so, Father, I don't never, ever, ever, ever want to miss an opportunity in a corporate prayer setting to not thank you for your word, tonight. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And then more importantly, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed so that we would have this opportunity to even know why we are praying. I just thank you, Father, for all things. And I pray that you bless every listener that's listening in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I'm so excited to talk about this particular lesson because it has been kind of a passionate thing on my heart. And for those of you that are listening, that are my students, praise God, this comes right out of one of the teachings that we're teaching in how to have the right faith in God and how we can be kingdom-minded. And so one of the books that we're studying is from Joseph Prince, and the title of the book is Right Believing. And so I took a passage of scripture that was in the book because it kind of jumped out at me when I was flipping through to do an exam. And I thought, wow, Lord, this is a really cool story because it fits so much into what we need to do and where we need to go as a people, because so many of us are behind when it comes to sharing your love and your warmth and just being about what you called us to be. And so in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, you know, making the right decision, having the right mindset. And last week, we talked about moving forward and why it's so important for us to do the things that God has placed on our hearts to do, because we all have a purpose, and that purpose is for us to prosper. But if we don't know what we were designed to do, we may find our way is not as prosperous as we want or are liked, or for some of us, it may never have been in a way that you're really comfortable, and that's because you're not doing what God has called you to do. And so all of us have a purpose and a plan. Whether we believe in God or not, we all have a purpose and a plan that he designed. We all have to admit we didn't come here by ourselves. Something happened to allow us to be here. Something allowed us to be in this time, in this setting. Something allowed. That is nothing but God, and you can't give credit to nobody else. You have to give that credit to God. So if he is the master blueprint, why wouldn't we follow it? And so the following of his word gives us the direction that we need to go in. And more importantly, I love those of you that know I love the Bible. And so tonight I want to talk about a story that was shared by Jesus. And some scholars believe that this story wasn't originally part of this particular passage, but it was inserted before they went to print, if you will. But nevertheless, I still have issues when people try to refute why the Bible and who wrote it and who didn't write it and how many books are there and how many books are missing. At the end of the day, if we believe God can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it. If he wanted those other books to be put in this 66 Chronicle order, it would have been there. But nevertheless, we do know that the Bible is formed around stories and things that actually happen. And so, of course, there's information that's not quote-unquote included in the 66 books, but it is enough meat in these passages that will get us to the point where God has designed for us to be. And so this particular story, I believe if God gave me a title, it would be Right Believing, of course. And then the story comes from John 8, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And so before we get there, I kind of want to talk a little bit about this famous story. It's a story about Jesus and a woman that got caught into adultery. And so in the beginning of John 8, the context of this passage of scripture, of course, John is my favorite book, but nevertheless, this is one of the gospels. John is one of the gospels. And at this time, the Jewish leaders were disturbed by the way Jesus was teaching and delivering his message and even the way he kind of carried himself. And so in almost every way that Jesus moved pretty much was contrary to the way they had understand how you were supposed to behave according to the law. So, of course, that's what they had at that time. But praise God. I'm grateful that God has given us this particular literary context. Because in this passage of scripture, it talks about why we shouldn't judge, and definitely not judge on appearances. And so for those of you that are scholarly minded, I like when I teach scriptures to share with most people, that it is so important that when you study the Word of God, that you read passages before, that you read the passages that you want to read, and then passages after, because a lot of times we get a better understanding, we get a better meaning or purpose in what God is causing for us to read when we decide to just open up the book and read. And so in this particular scripture, I like that it referred me to John 7:24, and it says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And so I know that there's quite a few scriptures in the Bible that we all kind of go with, do not judge. You ain't supposed to judge. And so one of those scriptures is Matthew 7. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. This is not our main passage of scripture, but I want to make sure that I get it in your knowing so that when we tell the full story, you'll get the full understanding. But this passage of scripture says, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother. And, of course, I added sister's eye. Amen. And then we often say sometimes, too, that judging isn't always bad. You know, what does judging actually mean? Judging means to kind of view and see. And so I found Luke 6:43-45, and it says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn, which is tore up, put in the fire. Fruit, you know, wherefore by their fruit you will know them. So that's a form of judging. So he's not saying that you can't judge. He's mainly talking about the condemnation from it, but we'll get to that. And then, of course, Matthew 7:16-20 says, you shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistle? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree can't bring forth evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Getting tongue-tied. Forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is, again, hewn and cast into the fire. Wherefore the fruit ye shall know them. So what is the meaning of all those? I was getting tongue-tied there. Basically, what this is saying is that you're going to see when people are doing things right. You're going to see when people are doing things wrong. But the key is that we can judge, but we can't condemn. And there's a big difference between judgment and condemnation. Jesus warns us that whoever condemns others will be condemned. And so when we judge, basically, like I said, I love definitions, but according to Webster, it says to judge can mean to decide, to distinguish, to condemn, to avenge, and then you can also, it can mean to damn. However, judgment is something that only God has the right to do, especially the time when we're talking about condemning. But we can decide, we can distinguish, but God, only God has the right to do the avenging, if you will. I want to talk a little bit about that because we read in John 5 that Jesus is given the ability to judge righteously for every person. And so if we can qualify that, I would like to share how when we give our life to Christ, we are asking God to give us an opportunity to roll away all the things that we've done in the past. And so, of course, we keep logs, and the devil keeps logs of all the horrible and rotten things that we've done. But when Jesus comes into our lives, he removes all of that sin, and we become righteous in him. And because of his righteousness, all the judgments that need to come or have to come will always be just and fair when it comes to the things of God. Jesus gave us total salvation. So with that total salvation, We are free from the condemnation and the guilt and shame that comes from the sins that we've committed. And so I want to make sure that I point out that condemnation is different from conviction. Condemnation, when we're judging and you condemn, you're pointing the finger at the person. And that's what the devil does. He condemns, he points, he brings up and rewinds all the things that you've done when he sent you the two. And he'll remind you of all the things that you've done. He'll constantly condemn you and point at you. Don't help him do that to yourself or to others. God convicts, and he convicts because he's pointing at the wrong things that we are doing, actions, the wrong mindsets, the wrong beliefs, the conviction, especially those of us that have been in the system for a little while. We know that heavy conviction when it comes, and it feels like condemnation sometimes because it is so heavy, because you know what you're doing, you know you weren't supposed to do it, praise God, and God is pointing that sin out to you. Don't do that. Don't limit your blessings, because we know that if we continue in this path that God is not pleased, and so that conviction is heavy, but it's not condemnation. He will never convict us. And I love the fact that Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those of you who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. For what God has done with the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, but by sending his Son in our likeness, taking on that sinful flesh and sin nature. Amen. It condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, so that we can walk, so we don't have to walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So now, praise God, I can get a little excited when I get into that, because there were so many years that I walked in condemnation because I felt like I was never going to be forgiven for this particular sin, or I was never going to be able to be around this group of people because they knew what I had done in this particular time of my walk. And so, I was just a walking billboard that just constantly put myself down and felt I couldn't accomplish these things. I couldn't get to this part of even in ministry, because I felt that, you know, they would see where all this garbage. This is what the devil does to all of us, to make us feel like we can't reach our potential, or we can't do the things that God has called for us to do. But we can, because of the righteousness that we have in the things of God. Praise God. All we have to do is ask God for forgiveness and move on, because he does. Change our mindset and walk in the things that where he's called us to. And praise God, yes, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to fall off the wagon from time to time. But the righteousness of God allows you to remember that I can ask God to forgive me and I can keep it moving. I don't have to walk around with the weight of condemnation that the devil will want to remind me. Remember, you did that. You ain't free, delivered. You're not set free. And I tell him he is a liar. And I know that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's not for me, because God sent Jesus so that I could have life and have it more abundantly. You got to know your word, amen. But anyway, back, I got a little excited. Okay, so back to our main passage of scripture, what God actually wants us to really focus on. I want to kind of give you another little precursor to this passage, that I want you to make sure that when you're looking at this story, because many of us have heard this story before, but we want to make sure that we look at the real evidence around this particular story, that the woman was brought to Jesus by her accusers. And so when they brought her at that particular time, they were only living by the law, which was the Old Testament. And so these particular people, here you know, were religious people. And so they were trying to not only trap her, but they were also trying to trap Jesus, because they were bound to this law that was given to Moses, that's found in Leviticus 20:10, that it talked about when you caught people in the acts of adultery, that they both were supposed to be stoned. But it's interesting that this story only talks about the woman, it don't talk about the man. So they wanted to see how Jesus was going to punish, since he knew the law and he was teaching the law, and he wasn't teaching and acting like they were accustomed to, so they wanted to see if they could catch him. So now I don't want to tell most of the story, but amen, let's just go to the scripture. So this is the passage of scripture. This is John 8, and it's, I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, early in the morning he came again to the temple. All of the people came to him and sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and making her stand before all of them. They said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commands us to stone such women. What do you say? And they said this to test him so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the ground. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And once he bent down and wrote on the ground, when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no, no one, sir. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again. And then just for the sake, I want to read verse 12. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life. I like that Jesus identifies himself as the light of the world, and that gives the light to let me know that, praise God, when I follow him, I'm walking in the light. Now, when we read these stories about Jesus, we have to know a little bit of the background, and that's why I kind of tried to give you some background about that they were trying to trap Jesus with the law. But I also want to give you a little background about who these two groups of people were. They were Pharisees and Sadducees. Both of these groups were religious people, and how during their day cared more about the law and carrying out the law than they did about the people. And so the Pharisees were a little bit more genuine in their faith because they could connect to the people a little bit more. They were more in tune to what was going on around the time, and they had more influence with the people. And those of you that know the story of Paul that was Saul first, he was considered a Pharisee. These people were heavily knowledgeable of the word, and they knew what were the law, I should say. And they knew, you know, how to influence the people, because when there was problems or there were challenges, people would bring their challenges or whatever to them, and then they would give them what they felt was best to do based on what the law was. And so the Pharisees, basically the name Pharisee means separated one. And so they separated themselves from most of the people because they spent a lot of their time studying and teaching. And so being around the common, although they were pretty common to the people, they were not clean. So they separated themselves, although they were accusers, if you will. And so in today's time, a Pharisee person would be more or less seen as a self-righteous person, one that knows the law but doesn't necessarily abide by the law, and the ones that are a little bit more uppity because they don't feel that they can be around you because they're spiritually endowed, they're thinking. And then, of course, the Sadducees, they were more political in nature, so they did more governing, although they did not believe necessarily all the traditions that the law shared. So they didn't believe in eternal life. They didn't believe in eternal blessings. They believed in pretty much life as it existed, and once it was over, it was over. But they had a lot of similarities between the two groups, but they were very different by far. But the one thing that they were similar on was that they both didn't like Jesus. and they wanted to find something to have him arrested. And so one of an example on if you were caught doing something, and so the best example that I could think of was the Ten Commandments. It said that we will remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so if somebody was caught selling something on the Sabbath day, then it was, but I'm not working, the person that's purchasing, but the person that's selling it to you is actually working. And so they went back and forth, and they used to go bicker between the law, who was being disobedient, who was obedient, and all that stuff. And so I don't even know if some of you remember, at one time, many of those traditions carried over even into our lifetime, where I don't know if you remember, I'm telling my age, I remember when a lot of stores were closed on Sunday. I remember when they didn't sell alcohol on Sunday. I remember when we had to sit down and we had to do quiet games because you couldn't dance and you definitely couldn't play no secular music on Sundays. Everything was sacred around the Sabbath, and so we kept, you know, we were bound, if you will, by the law. But when Jesus came, he didn't speak or didn't teach that way, and so they were confused. So how can you do these things? And so when they brought this woman before Jesus to have him condemn her because she was caught in adultery, they were surprised at what Jesus said. And so one of the things, at least one of the cool things that I love that we discussed in seminary school, was the part of the scripture that I read said that Jesus bent down and wrote his finger in the ground. So what did he write? Now, the scripture is not very clear, particularly what he wrote, but one scholar believes that in Jeremiah 17:13 says that those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because you have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. So their theory was based on they were doing blame. They were blaming, and so of course we were made in the earth. So when he was writing in the earth, scholars believe he was actually writing the Sadducees and the Pharisees that were there. He was writing their names down and what sins they had committed in the sand, because each of them was leaving one by one. I would like to imagine that that was the story, because they all left. But nevertheless, one of the things that I love about the things of God is that he does not keep records. And so they were so busy trying to make sure that they trapped him that the word flipped and was on them, because it was, okay, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. And so why is that so important for us today? It's important today because when I watch TV programs and in the news, and I'm bombarded with people making all these judgments against people, and they do the very same thing. They're just like the Sadducees and just like the Pharisees. How are we ever going to be able to do what we talked about last week, moving forward, when we have to have the love of Christ in our hearts? How do we master at understanding we walk in righteous standing when we're constantly blaming and judging and condemning people? If God and Jesus doesn't condemn, why do we feel that we can? I watched a program, a movie a couple months ago, and I was telling my girlfriend earlier that I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was, the lady told her, she said, I want you to take this pillow and go to the roof, and I want you to hit all the feathers out of the pillow. Just keep hitting till you see all the feathers just scattered. And so she did it. She went up there and she scattered all the feathers in the pillow. And then she came down and she said, okay, I did it. She said, now go back and get all those feathers. And she said, there's no way possible. She said, well, that's what gossip is. When you say something, when you're judgmental and you're harsh on people and you scatter things and you call and you tell other people and things are not right, you cannot get it back. And you don't know the damage that you cause for people by spewing things and judging people incorrectly. And so I watched this other program this week with my daughter and how the lady said something, but she didn't say how it was repeated. And how it was repeated was nothing like what she said, but she did it because of her own vindications or her own inclination. And she made it more harsh than what the lady meant. The lady meant, if you can't handle this kind of environment, you shouldn't be here. And that's the spirit of what she said it. But the way that the lady told it, it was, you don't need to be here because you can't handle it. I mean, it just took a life of its own. And then, of course, the way that the devil operates, he compounds it. And somebody else came and said something else to her against the same woman. And then a third person came in and said something. So now this lady has the wrong mindset. She's judging this woman based on what she's heard from these women, that they already had an ulterior motive anyway for her to be against the lady because they didn't like the other lady. And so now this lady is spewing off. Now, mind you, the viewers, because we watch every week, we get to see that that's not what she said. It had no meaning to that. But we got to see how the enemy used those other two ladies to put that judgment on her, to make her believe that what they were saying. And now she's acting completely out of what they spewed into her. And now their relationship is broken because the lady doesn't want anything to do with this woman, that she's casting blame, and she has no clue that she has no merit for what she's been blaming her with. And sometimes what happens when we do things. When we don't operate in the things of God and we don't operate in love and we don't take the time to find out exactly what was intended or what was said. I told my sister that I was going to dedicate this program to her because I remember years ago, she was a teenager, a young teenager at the time, and she said, I just hate it when we talk about each other, because when we talk about each other, it spins into other things, and before we know it, we're mad at people, and we don't even know why we're mad. And she was very adamant. She hated it, and she would remove herself whenever people were talking about people. She said, I don't like it. Even if it's true, I don't like it. Because we don't realize we're condemning people and we don't know the behavior that is causing to change in a person just by us talking. It may not be even anything, but the things that we're doing, we don't realize the seeds that we're planting in somebody else. They may not even be part of the conversation, just overhearing. And so we have to be so careful when we do that. I like that 2 Corinthians 3:3 says that you are a letter from Christ written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but tablets of the human heart. We have talked about in the weeks before how our heart, our mouth speaks whatever is in our heart. And so if your heart is not right, you're going to say things that will hurt people, that will lash on the people. My daughter says it often, hurt people, hurt others. And that's true to some degree. But I would have to believe that if you're hurting, that is an opportunity for you to give that to God. Give it to God because only he can fix it. There have been so many things that my father, bless his heart, I mean, kind of cut me to my core. And there's no way I can go to him and tell him. So who did I have to go to? I had to go to God. And I had to go to God and help me to get free from that. It wasn't nothing that I could go to him. But I had to go to God. And there's other times that people have hurt my feelings, and I didn't have an opportunity to go to them because God told me if I went to them, you'd make the situation worse than what it was, than what it is. And so we have to know, and that's why it's so important for us to go to God. I love the fact that they brought that woman to Jesus, and Jesus didn't condemn her. He didn't shame her. He didn't ask, why was you sleeping around? He didn't ask. Of course, the scripture doesn't go into total detail, but I'm almost positive he didn't, because it says he didn't shame her, he didn't guilt her. He told her to go and sin no more. When we make mistakes in life, there is another opportunity to get it right. God does not condemn us at one sin. He gives us chance after chance after chance. It's the devil that wants to remind you that what you've done will never be forgiven. Nobody will ever forget it. And maybe they won't forget it. But if you go to God, God forgives. And then God, let God fix that. I know my girlfriend will probably have me telling this story. But praise God, we had a situation where one of the teachers had a problem with me, and instead of her dealing it with me, she went around and tried to use her authority over me, and I thought, wow, this is odd. And I don't like doing confusion no more, and I've said that many times, that I'm so grateful when God delivered me from people bondage. It still works my nerves a little bit sometimes, and it gets a rise, but the rise is not because of what was said. The rise is that, Lord, why do we not love one another? We say we love each other, but we don't act like we love each other. And so I look for actions, because that is one thing my dad did really get into me, was that actions speak louder than words. We say a lot of things, but our actions are different. And so when we're talking about looking at people's fruit, that we can judge, we can distinguish whether the truth is the truth and whether a lie is a lie. And so when she attacked me, I was confused, because my good friend was standing there, and I thought, I'm at your house here because you invited me, and this other woman is going off on me. I'm confused, and you're not defending me. And you're not telling her to stop. This is your house. Why are you not controlling this environment? And so, of course, because I don't do confusion, I just told her, I'm not in agreement. And that's how I left it. And so I thought, okay, now my friend, is she really my friend? Because now that I understand that I have the outer court, those of you that know the tabernacle, how God has the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. And so the outer court was for people to bring their animals to be sacrificed, because they were the sins of the people, placed their sins on the animal that was to be sacrificed, and that goes in the first part. So for me and my relationships, you know, I don't know you that well, amen, you in the outer court. And then, praise God, when you show yourself real for me, then you can move to the inner court. And the inner court was for the priest, praise God, because now they had the blood from the sacrifice, and then they put it the furniture pieces that were inside the Holy of Holies, where it gave the fragrance to God, where they had the showbread, where they, you know, represents the communion and the fragrances and prayers and the scents. I mean, that's some stuff. Amen. So if you get to that level, then praise God, that's family. You know, where we through and through, you know, we road dogs. That's where we are. And then the Holy of Holies, that only one priest could go in the Holy of Holies, and he had to be right, because if he wasn't right, he would drop dead, because he was in the presence of God. And so if you get to the Holy of Holies in my world, praise God, you deserve to be there. But at one time, praise God, it was open for everybody. It was 7-Eleven. You could come and go from 7 to 11. And I was always wounded, and I was always hurt, because I had the wrong people in the wrong places. And so now, praise God, the holies of holies, the way God did the tabernacle, he had the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. Well, I kind of added a piece for me. I have a parking lot. And so sometimes people don't even get in the outer court. They have to stay in the parking lot. And then, praise God, there are folks that I tell them that we under construction. You can't even come to the parking lot. And so, praise God, this particular friend was in the holies of holies, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to write her off, because that other lady completely let me know that she was not a friend? And so how do I handle this? I could have just skipped her altogether, but I'm like, no, I have to give her an opportunity to explain herself. Please share with me why this situation happened. I said, why didn't you defend me? And she said, you was doing what you needed to do. There was nothing for me to say. You used scripture. You told her what you meant. You didn't agree. There was nothing for me to contribute. I said, but you allowed that to happen in your home. And she said, I didn't know that that was going to happen. But for me, how could I know? You invited me there and you invited her. I'm confused. But I want to know, because I believe our friendship is valuable enough that I need to ask you before I completely put you outside the parking lot. And so we laugh now. But I praise God that she was just as open. And that's what real friendship is, because she was like, I'm glad you came to me. And I had to come to the restaurant. I wanted to be in a public place. Praise God. In case she went off, amen, I had witnesses. And I'm sure she probably thought the same thing. If she go ham, amen, I got witnesses. But praise God how we met on neutral ground and we were able to communicate and able to talk that through. And then praise God, we are better friends because of that. And so now I'm able to share with her my heart and she knows my heart. So now, ride or die, if something happens, amen, I could be naked and not ashamed ever, ever with her. I can say dumb stuff, and she, we need to go to the Word. We need to, you know, and so that's the type of relationship that God wants us to have with him. And so, praise God, when you can have it with somebody on earth, it's even better. But you got to make sure that you put the people in the right places. And if you don't, praise God, you end up in the judgment and the condemnation. And so I remember when I first met her, I told her, I'm good with friends. I don't need no more friends. I have enough family that I have to deal with. I don't need no new people in my life. I'm cool because I don't want to go through those steps again. I don't want to have to interview you in the parking lot. I want to see if you can get to the inner court or the outer court. I'm good. But praise God, she worked her way in, and she chiseled her way, and she got in. I think she snuck in through the back of the tent. But anyway, she's there. And so I'm grateful that she's there, because praise God, she has saved me from a lot of stuff that I could have went ham, praise God. And I'm sure I've saved her from a lot of stuff that could go ham. But nevertheless, if we don't start operating in love and stop condemning and being the fair you I see, and I love how God puts words together, and I was sharing that with her too, how God allowed these words to come together and how the compound words and the root words have meaning. And when we talk about the fair, I don't know, it's P-H, of course, but I put F-A-I-R, fair I see. So fair I see, fair see, that's how you spell fair see. And then the sad, sad you see. I don't want Pharisee or Sadducee friends. I want friends that look to Jesus. I don't want to be that type of friend to anybody either. And so in order for me to be there, I have to believe right. I have to walk right. I have to act right. And how can I do that if I don't give my life to Christ? I have to give it to him, and I have to give everything to him. I have to renew my mind. When people make me mad, I can't just go to the phone. I need to go to the throne. Lord, what do I do in this situation? Do I snap back, or do I leave it and give it to you? Because you said that you would fix it. And if I believe you'll fix it, then praise God, I have the right belief to know that you're going to do what you said you're going to do and leave it alone. And when he tells me to move, then I move. So many of us jump the gun and we move. I hate, hate, hate. And I know if I hate, and I use that word as strongly, but I do hate it because I know God hates how divided this country has become. Republican and Democrat and independent, who cares? We are men and women of God. And we move when God says move. Whether I'm vaccinated, whether I'm not vaccinated, whether I've had COVID, whether I've not had COVID, who cares? At the end of the day, God is in control. But we forget when we do all this judgment and when we put these labels on people, we make life worse than what it is, because how can we operate in the commandments that he gave to love one another and to love people as we love ourselves? And so if you're treating people nasty, if you're using your mouth to spew nasty and evil, vile things on people, then you don't love yourself. And for a long time, it took me a while to believe, if you don't love yourself, you don't know how to love others. I'm like, sure, I know how to love me. I don't have to love them. But praise God, if I love God, I have to love others, no matter where they are in their walk, because God gave me an opportunity to get my life right. He could have condemned me years ago when I was scared of the dark, praise God, and I didn't get delivered from that until I was in my 40s. I was scared of the dark. I was fearful, very fearful. That's not a God. He didn't give me the spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and a sound mind, but I wasn't operating in that. So if he had taken me out and all of that in myself and in my flesh, I don't know that I would have made it to where I want to make it. Now I know my house got a lot of diamonds and a lot of jewels, because praise God, I'm doing the will of God. Amen. I'm just saying. But back then, if somebody didn't give me an opportunity to pray for me, to lay hands on me, to sit me down and teach me the word of God, we are so quick to judge people and not even give them the hand of God. It bothers me. It really does. It takes me to my inner core that I lose myself sometimes because where is the love? We say we love God, but we are operating as Pharisees and Sadducees. We have to stop. Christians, it is time for us to rise up and do what God has called us to do. The world is hurting. The earth is groaning. It's flooding. It's all this climate change is because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. If we pray, the Bible says if the people would humble themselves, he would heal their land. Now, granted, that scripture can go how it goes because some people say that we take it out of context because that is not what it intended for. But nevertheless, it means what it means because we say it what God said. He said we have to humble ourselves. And if we know John 15:7, it says, if I remain in you and your words remain in me, I can ask whatever I wish and it will be granted. Lord, I want world peace. Amen. That's not just a slogan that they use for Miss America. We all should want world peace. There is not world peace. And why are we not praying about it? Why are we only worried about who has COVID and who don't? Why are we worried about whether or not they can come to my house or they can't? Or if they're good enough to be around me? It's sad that we have come to this as a people. It is sad. I know that this is probably not part of a godly message, but for whatever reason, I love The Godfather of Harlem. It's a show that's on Epic, and it's given a depiction about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Bumpy Johnson, and how all that, amen, goes together. Praise God. It's amazing, though, how they intertwine and work with each other during that time. And watching this show, I watch it not because of the storyline necessarily or the people acting, because there's some great actors in the show, but I love it because it gives the real depiction on how brotherhood, how Malcolm and Martin had different walks and different views, but at a point in time they came together. Because they came together for the good of the world, of what they both saw that was necessary for the equality of black people. It was time. And so Malcolm had his way, Martin had his way, but at the end of the day, God used both of them, both of them. Malcolm was a little radical at one point, but I believe in my heart toward the end of his life, again, when we judge, Malcolm may not have turned had he not had a Martin in his ear. And so if we're so busy condemning, we will never get the people that need to be in our ear to give a word, to give us encouragement, to give us what we need to steer in the right direction. Saints, we got to stop judging people and putting people on the outside because they don't go or flow with our thought process. Who do we think we are that we can judge other people? The Bible doesn't say only love these type of people, the type of people that you believe that you should love. It said all people. And so, saints, we got to believe right. We got to think right. We got to walk right. We got to do right. We got to do right. And it's time for us to stand up. Saved and the unsaved, we can come together and allow, like the scripture says, allow our life to be the letter from Christ that our heart will speak love. Our heart can't speak love when we're judging people because you don't walk like me, you can't be around me. Because you don't look like me, you can't be around me. It is sad and it is sickening for me to know Christians are operating that way. It shouldn't be. And so praise God. If you need to be the mouthpiece that God needs to use to stand up for righteousness, be the voice that God needs. Us sitting back and watching how many people watch how our rights were just taken away from us for no reason. And the scary thing, you know, and I hate making my show black, white, but the thing, the Europeans left the British people because they were being slaves in that country. And they came here and did the same thing and enslaved other people. We can't keep being hypocritical. This story should let you know we can't be hypocrites because when God comes to judge, praise God, he's coming to judge. So but you can't have that in your heart. And you can't make yourself believe because you know 100 scriptures, and you that means nothing, because you want the Lord to say good and faithful servant, not, yeah, you did quite a few things in my name, but I don't know you. I can't, my heart cringes to think that that could be my story. No, ma'am. No, sir. That's not going to be me. I'm going to do what God called me to be and do what God calls me to do, whether I'm sick, whether I'm crippled, or even crazy. As long as God gives me a word and tells me how to operate in love, I'm going to do it. And so you all should be just as committed to that. Amen. Believe right. Get right. Give your life to Christ. It's simple. All you got to do is ask him to come into my life. And as Joel Osteen said, and I make you my Lord and Savior. And get into a Bible-based church. Amen. I'm trying not to laugh or pray. But it is that simple. It really is that simple. And just do the things that God has called you to do. And I promise you, life will be better for you. Amen. I know that I'm not out of talk, but I am out of time. I can talk, as my granny says, but I got to shut it down. And I want to make sure that I play her favorite song, because her song is very, very important, because it says every praise belongs to God. It really does. If you know that you have lived a life that has not been completely pleasing to him, all you got to do is repent and then give him the praise that he deserves, because every praise does belong to him. Because he doesn't have to save any of us, but he does. And he gives us chance after chance after chance to get it together. So every praise does belong to him. Amen. This is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I pray that you have gotten something from this message. And praise God, you can tune in next week and there'll be another inspiring word from God on high. Praise God, if you missed anything, you can always go back and listen to the pre-recording. And I think it loads after 10, 15 minutes after we shut down. All you got to do is log on to the website of Blog Talk Radio and put in Omega Ministry Group. And then, praise God, my name will come up and you just pick whatever lesson you want to listen to. Well, Granny, you know I love you, and I thank you for tuning in. I thank you for my nieces and nephews and all my new friends, those in the inner court, outer court, and some of you in the parking lot. Praise God. If you're listening, hallelujah. Thank you for being here. Maybe you'll move to the next level. Amen. Praise God. Make sure you always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Oh, and just for the record, tomorrow my niece's birthday, my first niece. Amen. Happy birthday, love. God bless you all. Start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day. End your day with prayer. God bless and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Talk to you soon.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praise?
Y'all
know how we do it. Take it up and pray. It's to our God.